So in the course of my reading over the past two decades, of course I would have come across some very profound statements, quotes, maxims, adages. It's things that I have written down over the years and kept in different scrapbooks, collected them, put them together, reorganized them, and basically committed most of them to memory. These did not come from a quote book. These are 72 quotes of power that I have collected from just about as many sources over a long period of time. I decided to do this because the quotes that we collect, and I'm not the only one that does this. I know some of you have collected some, today we call them memes. But some of those memes have some very profound statements. Axiomatic, self-evident truths. The quotes that we collect, that we hold dear, are actually little windows into our souls, into our personalities. So this is what I'm sharing. These are the quotes that have impacted me, that have put me in the direction that I've gone and am going. So, chew it all up and spit out the bones. Some of them might not be for you, but I think a lot of you are going to resonate with some of these statements. These are from different personalities, different time periods, different minds, who all had come in contact with different information. So take that into consideration when you're listening to some of these quotes. And this is something you can just play back over and over as you're driving. Commit some of them to memory. But in anything, like I tell you guys all the time, you just take from it what you can and let the rest go. If something doesn't fit, don't force it. Almost 2,000 years ago, Pliny the Elder wrote, "Absolutely nothing is being added to the sum of knowledge as a result of original research. Indeed, not even the discoveries made by people long ago are thoroughly assimilated." Over 17 centuries ago, Porphyry wrote, "The ancients were willing to conceal God and divine virtues by sensible figures and by those things which are visible, yet signifying invisible things." A text from the Dead Sea Scrolls over 2,000 years in age, called the Book of Secrets, reads, "But they did not know the secret of the way things are, nor did they understand the things of old. They did not know what would come upon them, so they did not rescue themselves without the secret of the way things are." The Book of Ecclesiastes 1:9, "There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after." Tacitus, in the Annals of Imperial Rome, 352, "Men's minds become so sick they can only be relieved by remedies as severe as the infection." In Past Shock, Jack Berenger wrote, "The claim that God has this wonderful gift to offer but will eternally damn anyone who doesn't accept it is an idea that is both illogical and psychologically damaging." In the 1930s, after a lifetime of research, Charles Fort wrote, "There may be occult things, beings and events, that also there may be something of the nature of an occult police force which operates to divert human suspicions and to supply explanations that are just good enough." 15 centuries ago, Jerome, in his letter to Nepotian, wrote, "Know that in judging others, you pass sentence on yourself." Almost 2,700 years ago, the Assyrian king Ashurbanipal wrote, "The wise shall teach it to the wise, the unlearned shall not see it." The philosopher Diderot wrote, "Men will never be free till the last king is strangled with the entrails of the last priest." In the Book of Sirach of the Apocrypha, we read in 318, "The greater you become, the more humble you must be. Many are in a high place and of renown, but mysteries are revealed unto the meek." Also in the Apocrypha, in 2 Esdras 14:26, we read, "Some things thou shalt publish, and some things thou shalt show secretly to the wise. Over 200 years ago, Napoleon Bonaparte said, I feel myself driven towards an end that I do not know. As soon as I shall have reached it, as soon as I have become unnecessary, an atom will suffice to shatter me. Till then, not all the forces of mankind can do anything against me. 30 years ago, in the book, The World Is All Wrong and Everybody Knows It, C.W. Dalton wrote, one who believes that the purpose of life is living loses nothing when he dies. In 1919, Charles Fort wrote, I now suspect that the spiritualists are reversedly right, that there is a ghost world, but that it is our existence, that when spirits die, they become human beings. Arthur Schopenhauer wrote, it is much easier to criticize a new concept than to give a clear and complete exposition of its value. The more we learn, the more we are separated from society. Many fall into depression by this disconnectedness. But the few who adapt, who observe this chaotic world of half-truths and deceptions objectively as a viewer rather than a participant, are they who experience true power. These are souls ready to move on, but are still with us in this world for reasons known only to the universe. Victor Hugo wrote, an invasion of armies can be resisted, but not an idea whose time has come. Nisargadatta Maharaj wrote, the search for reality is the most dangerous of all undertakings, for it destroys the world in which you live. P.T. Barnum was famous for saying, it doesn't matter what they say about you, as long as they spell your name right. The ever-clever Voltaire wrote, when once a nation begins to think, it is impossible to stop it. Ernest Holmes in 1919 wrote, fate is in our hands. The whole trouble has been that we reason as men and not as gods. Ernest Holmes also wrote, the average person, when told the truth, will still seek some other way. And one of my favorite quotes, Oliver Wendell Holmes, a man's mind stretched by a new idea can never go back to its original dimensions. Historian Daniel Boorstin wrote, the unknown can be discovered by clearly marking the boundaries of the known. 120 years ago, Franz Boas wrote, record enough facts and the answers will fall to you like ripe fruit. And Franz Hartmann wrote, one who is properly informed is not easily deceived. Again, C.W. Dalton wrote, the longer one searches, the greater he discovers the area of his ignorance to be. Some of you in my comment sections should pay heed to this Persian proverb, don't let your tongue cut off your head. George Hunt Williamson wrote, the world fears a mind that thinks more accurately than its own. To think is to be persecuted. To have vision is to be hated by the visionless. To be wise is to be reviled by fools. And Arthur Schopenhauer again, every man takes the limits of his own vision for the limits of the world. The philosopher Berkeley wrote, few men think, but all will have opinions. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle in Sherlock Holmes wrote, when you have eliminated the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth. The anonymous iconoclast Wicked Jester wrote, free all men, and they will use their freedom to forge new chains. Barry Fell in America BC wrote, there is a tendency on the part of those established in a field of science either to ignore or label as fraud anything that does not fit in with their preconceived notion of how things should be. It is much easier to cry fraud at something out of the ordinary than it is to investigate it. an old Chinese proverb, it is better to light one candle than curse the darkness. Charles Hanel in 1922 wrote, thinking is the only activity which the spirit possesses, and thought is the only product of thinking. My third quote from Arthur Schopenhauer, The World as Will, in order to acknowledge and freely admit the worth of another, a man must generally have some worth of his own. David Icke wrote, no one is powerless, ordinary, or insignificant. To claim so is to say the divine infinity is also these things. If we change our imagination of ourselves, we can live our lives as the incarnate ocean and not as the disconnected droplet, as infinity and not only as far as the eyes can see. A couple centuries ago, Voltaire wrote, those who walk the well-trodden path always throw stones at those who are opening a new road. Henry David Thoreau wrote, while civilization has been improving our houses, it has not equally improved the men who are to inhabit them. And I am in full agreement with Immanuel Kant. It is indeed true that I think many things with the clearest conviction, which I have never had the courage to say. But I will never say anything which I do not think. P.D. Ouspensky wrote, emotion unveils in the soul of man the development of powers so deeply hidden that by the majority of men their very existence is denied. In 1599, Matthias Quatt wrote, there will come a time when none of the secrets of nature will be out of the reach of the human mind. And again, my friend Voltaire, antiquity is full of the praises of another antiquity still more remote. In 1920, Albert Churchward wrote, thousands of years ago, the grand architect of the universe gave the old wise men of Egypt the written laws for everlasting life, as well as a doctrine of final things. These the human race has never been permitted to lose, and the foundation of our brotherhood was built upon these solid rocks, these truths. Although we have traveled far and long since our originals were in existence, we therefore have many innovations in our rituals on account of compilers of these latter days not understanding the originals. The substance, though, has never been lost. Over 220 years ago, William Blake wrote, the man who does not believe in miracles makes it certain that he will never partake in one. In 1871, Franz Hartmann wrote, if we are content to live in the opinions of others, we have no truth of our own. Another personal favorite, Friedrich Nietzsche, that the whole world believes in something is already an objection to it. The famous philosopher Will Durant lived almost 100 years. He wrote, we shall leave this world as foolish and wicked as we found it. M. Devereaux wrote, we live in a world where true evil disguises itself while pointing the finger at the innocent. They accuse their enemies of what they themselves are, and they always tell the exact opposite of the truth. It falls upon us to be diligent. Recognize the players, agents of the simulacrum, the NPCs, the media and pop culture puppets of the elite. Intuition is your greatest defense. Wallace Wattles in 1910 wrote, the man who can sincerely thank God for the things which as yet he owns only in imagination has the real faith. Henry Cornelius Agrippa, citing Iamblichus, wrote, inaccessible places become accessible for those that are divinely inspired. Helen Vandenman wrote, there is no death because an opposite to God does not exist. Over a century ago, C.W. Sarum wrote, for we need to understand the past 5,000 years in order to master the next 100 years. In 1914, in the epic work, Tertium Organum, P.D. Ouspensky wrote, Future events are wholly contained in preceding ones. If we know all the past, by this we could know all the future. A 3,000-year-old golden inscription discovered in the famous tomb of King Tutankhamun of Egypt reads, I have seen the past. I know the future. In 1659, Paracelsus wrote on Before the Flood, At length, this universal knowledge was divided into several parts and lessened in its vigor and power. By means of the separation, one man became an astronomer, another a magician, another a Kabbalist, and the fourth an alchemist. Abraham, that volcanic Tubal Cain, a consummate astrologer and arithmetician, carried the art of the land of Canaan into Egypt. Emanuel Swedenborg, in 1755, wrote, The spiritual man feels quite independent, yet knows and acknowledges that he is led by invisible cords. Niccolo Machiavelli, in Discourses 1:38, wrote, Sometimes there are no good choices, and we are confronted with a situation when we need to take the lesser evil as the better alternative. Again, my buddy Arthur Schopenhauer, in 1847, wrote, There are more things that terrify us than there are that oppress us, and we suffer more in opinion than in reality. G.R.S. Meade, in 1892, wrote, There is no need for new revelation, but there is every need for an explanation of the old revelations and the undeniable fact of human experience. And Ernest Holmes again, 1919, Fate is in our hands. The whole trouble has been that we reason as men and not as gods. In 1763, my buddy Voltaire, It is better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open one's mouth and remove all doubt. In The World's All Wrong and Everybody Knows It, C.W. Dalton wrote, It is safer to be wrong with everyone than to be right alone. The great Benjamin Franklin, author of Poor Richard's Almanac, wrote, Three can keep a secret if two of them are dead. And again, Helen Vandeman wrote, Reality remains unknowable to us while we cling to our illusions. Physicist Massimo Citro wrote, All the major thinkers have rightly perceived that bodies are illusions, representations of something else, and what we call existence is rather like a dream. But this secret has been hidden, transmitted only to those able to accept the terrible truth that we live in a fiction. Kind of reminds you of that old nursery rhyme, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. In 1551, Balthazar Gracian, one of my very favorite authors, wrote, Dream lofty dreams, and as you dream, so shall you become. Your vision is the promise of what you shall one day be. Over 15 centuries ago, Synesius of Cyrene wrote, Never will I consent to conceal my beliefs, nor shall my opinions be at war with my tongue. And for my own contribution, though I would never put myself in the same category as these great minds, I offer this one. Males are many, but men are few.